So continuing chapter 11, the devotional service in friendship. Devotional service in friendship can be divided into two categories. The first is to act as the confidential servant of the Lord, and the other is to act as the well-wisher of the Lord. The devotee who has confidence in devotional service to the Lord systematically follows the rules and regulations with the faith that he will achieve the platform of transcendental life. The second type of devotional friendship is to become a well-wisher of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord accepts the preacher as the most dear servant. Anyone who is preaching the confidential message of the Gita to the people in general is so dear to Krishna that no one can be equal to him in human society. In the Mahabharata, Draupadi says, "My dear Govinda, your promise is that your devotees can never be vanquished. I believe in that statement, and therefore in all kinds of tribulations I simply remember your promise, and thus I live." The purport is that Draupadi and her five husbands, the Pandavas, were put into severe tribulations by their cousin brother Duryodhana, as well as by others. The tribulations were so severe that even Bhishmadev, who was both a lifelong brahmachari and a great warrior, would sometimes shed tears thinking of them. He was always surprised that although the Pandavas were so righteous and Draupadi was practically the goddess of fortune, and although Krishna was their friend, still they had to undergo such severe tribulations. Though the tribulations were not ordinary, Draupadi was not discouraged. She knew that because Krishna was their friend, ultimately they would be saved. A similar statement is there in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter, verse 53, where Havi, the son of King Rishabha, addresses Maharaj Nimi, "My dear king, a person who never deviates even for a moment from engagement in service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Person, engagement which is sought even by great demigods like Indra, with firm conviction that there is nothing more worshipable or desirable than this, is called the first-class devotee." Sri Rupa Goswami says that a neophyte devotee who has simply developed a slight love of Godhead is certainly a prospective candidate for devotional service. When he becomes firmly fixed in devotional service, that assured status becomes a confidential part of his devotional service. Sometimes it is found that a pure devotee lies down in the temple of the Lord in order to serve him as a confidential friend. Such friendly behavior of a devotee may be accepted as raganuga or spontaneous, although, according to regulative principles, no one can lie down in the temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This spontaneous love of Godhead may be grouped under devotional service in friendship. So here, this section then is dealing with the aspects of when one's serving the Lord. The aspects of serving the Lord is servitorship, friendship, and surrendering everything, or atmanivedana, from these 8 or 9 different kinds of devotional service. So then, yesterday we discussed the servitorship, which basically was following the Varnashram system, following the rules and regulations there. And that he is either interested, he gives the fruits to Krishna. And then in there, we basically have that, yeah. Yeah. So they offer everything to Krishna. They follow Krishna's system as servants. Then here in friendship, then two aspects are divided. One who has confidence in the devotional service and follows the rules and regulations very nicely. And the other is one who is preaching. So these are, yeah. So basically we see, but in here it seems that the aspect of, generally one would see it as servitorship would be the neophyte position, friendship would be the madhyam position, and surrendering everything would be the uttam. But in here Prabhupada is given different aspects of all the three levels. But it seems that the faith is very strong. In the servitorship, here, then there's a firm faith, the conviction is very strong, and the steadiness in devotional service is very much. So it appears if there's confidence in the system, and one is following, and one will understand, one will become elevated, then that is one platform. Then if one is preaching, or one is very steady in the devotional service, or fixed, then that it seems to be another aspect of this. And then he also is giving here, Prabhupada's giving the aspect of Raganuga, where there's maybe even a spontaneous platform. And as later we see, Prabhupada's specifically dealing with Raganuga in relationship to the Uttama platform. So it appears that all these, even that aspect of Raganuga is then counted within this realm of friendship. But we see in here the main principle seems to be being fixed in devotional service. Now one is fixed. By being fixed in devotional service, then one becomes, this platform is more achieved. Because one has, we see that the fixed is here, the relationship is more developed here. Right? The devotee has confidence in the devotional service, systematically follows the rules and regulations with the faith that he will achieve the platform of transcendental life. And then Draupadi is mentioning here, is that, my dear Govinda, your promise is that your devotee can never be vanquished. I believe in that statement, and therefore in all kinds of tribulations, I simply remember your promise, and thus I live. So you see the relationship is closer there. In the servitorship, one is following because this is the proper path given by the Lord. But here, there is confidence in the Lord personally. It's not so much, it's the path is there, but the Lord is also included within this. The other one, it's that there's the path. That path is given by the Lord. While here it is the Lord has given this path and we're taking shelter of the Lord and following the path that the Lord has given. So we see that the mentality just kind of switches a little bit. Is the Lord is there, He has given this path. Or the path is there, it is given by the Lord. Right? You can see there's a slight difference. Right? Then another thing of being fixed is that then well-wisher, is that one is preaching, one is taking up the activities for the Lord, to do what the Lord wants done. Like Lord Chaitanya was feeling very, very disturbed that so many living entities are not taking up Krishna consciousness. So then if one preaches, then this pleases the Lord very much. This is what the Lord wants to do. So if one is preaching, then this is considered very much. But it's preaching because the Lord wants this done. Right? It's not that this is the path, but the Lord wants this done. And so by doing that, then one attains perfection. And then here he's also pointing the steadfastness in devotional service. My dear King, a person who never deviates even for a moment from engagement in service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Person, engagement which is sought even by great demigods like Indra, with firm conviction that there is nothing more worshipable or desirable than this, is called the first-class devotee. Now here, then first class we can see when we get to Uttama Bhakti, than what is very fixed there. You know? So then here we're getting that aspect also. And the Raganuga aspect, or what is, the confidential aspect. But in all of these, we see that the essential element is being fixed, like that. It means in the servitorship, we saw that there might be an interest in sense gratification, but the results are given to Krishna. Here, there's no talk of that. The word is always being firmly fixed. Confidence. You know, steady engagement. These are elements that we see that are generally more, we are see them in the Madhyama and in the platform of Bhava. These are there. And also, Raganuga is generally categorized within these two divisions. And specifically, the Raganuga has been described by Srila Prabhupada in the Uttama position, because then it becomes very real. While in the Madhyama, it is a interest, but it hasn't come to the platform makes it greatly substantial. It becomes very substantial in the Uttama platform. And surrendering everything. Regarding complete surrender, there is a nice description in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th chapter, verse 34, where the Lord says, "A person who has completely surrendered unto me and has completely given up all other activities is protected by me personally, both in this life and in the next." In other words, I wish to help him become more and more advanced in spiritual life. Such a person is to be understood as having already achieved sharshti, having equal opulences with the Lord. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that as a person surrenders under the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna takes charge of him and gives him a guarantee of protection from all sinful reactions. He also instructs from within, so that the devotee may very quickly make advancement towards spiritual perfection. This self-surrender is called Atmanivedana. According to different authorities, self is differently defined. Self is sometimes considered to refer to the spiritual self or soul, and self is sometimes considered to refer to the mind or to the body. Full self-surrender, therefore, means not only surrendering oneself as spirit soul, but also surrendering one's mind and body to the service of the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a nice song in this connection. While offering himself as a fully surrendered soul, he said, "My mind, my household affairs, my body, whatever is in my possession, my dear Lord, I offer to you for your service. Now you can do with them as you like. You are the supreme possessor of everything. So if you like, you can kill me, or if you like, you can give me protection. All authority belongs to you. I have nothing to claim as my own." Sri Yamunacharya, in his prayers to the Lord, has expressed a similar idea in the following words. "My dear Lord, I may be living within some body as a human being or as a demigod, but whatever mode of life, I do not mind, because these bodies are simply byproducts of the three modes of material nature. And I, who am in possession of these bodies, am surrendering myself unto you." In the Hari Bhakti Vivek, there is a statement regarding how one can offer his body in self-surrender. There the devotee says, "My dear Lord, as a souled animal has no need to think about his maintenance and sustenance, so, because I have given up my body and soul unto you, I am no longer concerned with my maintenance and sustenance." In other words, one should not bother about his personal or family maintenance or sustenance. If one is actually surrendered in body and soul, he should always remember that his only concern is to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami says that devotional service and friendship and devotional service and self-surrender are two difficult processes. Two meaning two in number, not two like too much. Therefore, such relationships with the Lord can very rarely be seen. Only for the advanced devotees are these two processes easily executed. The purport is that it is very rare to see surrender which is mixed with sincere ecstatic devotion. One must give himself completely to the will of the Lord. So here in this ecstatic devotion, then we see this is on the Uttama platform. So everything has been given to the Lord, because everything is actually going on by the control of the Lord. What happens is because we've desired it, or how you say, we perform an activity, and we think that because of our activity, we are getting the fruits of that action. Right? That's called karma. Is that one performs an activity, it gives a fruit. And when one is attached to that fruit, or one thinks that because I have done it, therefore I deserve the result, or the result that comes is mine, or both. This is karma. But we see that Krishna explains that in actuality, that's an illusion. Because the living entity can only desire. They can't do more than that. Then Krishna sanctions it as the supersoul, and the modes of nature carry it out. So actually, whatever we do, Krishna puts down to the point of blinking our eyes, right? Or something conscious that we do, influencing others, right? We like to go up to somebody, talk to them, influence them according to our opinion. So we feel we have done that, but Krishna points out, no, that the modes of nature did, right? Under his direction. So simply what is happening is, due to our desires and our activities, then we are gaining results. Right? But it is our desire, it's nothing else. So the actual maintenance of the body, everything that happens, is actually being carried out by the modes of nature. Plenty of people are going out and doing a work and getting very little for it, or getting nothing for it. Others are going and doing the same work at the same time and getting so much. Somebody has little, they keep it their whole life. Someone else has a lot, they lose everything. So if one actually looks at it, there's no question of security and making one's own arrangements of any of this. That is not there. Because there's people with qualifications, people without qualifications. There's people with jobs, people without jobs. Life is going on. Right? Like here, this flood is going on. Devotees are thinking things are getting very difficult. And that one devotee just came today that they went across the river over to Srup Ganj. Only thing out of the water is in Srup Ganj is the road there. All the people of that area are living on that road. So they're not living in rooms with attached baths. That's definitely not there. They're just bringing something, you know, some piece of plastic or this or that, and putting it there, and they're living. When the flood's over, they'll still be alive. Right? I mean, people in 19 districts in Bengal, 17 are flooded. Right? Over 100 million people here. And so they'll survive. You know, one or two here and there, maybe some difficulty. So the Lord is taking care, right? There's people sitting in their very fancy houses, big places, you know, the latest technological things to protect them and security systems and that. And people are breaking in, stealing everything or killing them. Or even getting shot at their door while they're pushing all the buttons. Right. So ultimately, then those in knowledge, like we see Draupadi, or here, not Mara, who is it? Habi, right? Yamunacharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is as a grihastha is saying this. Whatever is in my possession, my dear Lord, I offer to you for your service. You can do with them as you like. You are the supreme possessor of everything. So if you like, you can kill me, or if you like, you can give me protection. All authority belongs to you. I have nothing to claim as my own. This is the reality. The devotee recognizes that and establishes his relationship with the Lord. So this is actually what's going on. But, as pointed out, Rupa Goswami says it's very rare to see this because the devotee, the living entity, what's rare is the living entity doesn't want to give up the idea that by my work, I am doing things. Right? I did this, I got that. Because of that, that is why it's rare. Otherwise, all the living entity is doing is desiring. That's it. I mean, you take something 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, right? And put that next to a hair. Can it move it? Right? I mean, we hear of bugs that move things 40 times their weight, or ants that move things 6 times their weight. And it's very amazing. Something can move 10,000 times, more than 10,000, the tip of a hair. 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. Right? And then you got the whole hair. And that hair is connected to a big body. So what does the living entity, what is their power? It's nothing other than desire. That's the reality. That somebody got something, was the Lord sanctioned it? The modes of nature arranged it. We went out, we took our paintings, we took our whatever we took, and we went out and we collected, you know, $100 or $1,000. We didn't do any of that. We had the desire to do that. Krishna sanctioned it. The modes of nature let it happen. Because anybody who's gone out and done this kind of work knows that sometimes you go out and you use the same tricks, you say the same things, you go to the same spots, you collect nothing. And sometimes it's very devastating to these devotees. Because they're so used to going out and having their name at the top of the chart, and they go out and they can't even do anything. It's very disturbing. So if one knows, one is not, then it's a very different thing. Then every moment, one is surrendered to the Lord. That constant surrender to the Lord is because at every moment one understands we are not that qualified. It is the Lord who is taking care of all these things. Then it becomes very special. Then it's not that, well, I did this, I did that. Or by the Lord's mercy, I did this and that. It's not just simply the Lord's mercy. And then we desire to serve the Lord. And then however it comes out, then we understand that this is the Lord's arrangement. If we're surrendered. If we're not surrendered, then we're all kinds of interesting things come up. But we see the Pandavas, no matter how difficult the situation, they always had some place to stay. They always had something to eat. Krishna always was there with them. It may not have been regular. You know, it may have been difficult. But they were there with the Lord. Therefore, Draupadi said, I therefore take shelter of you in this, and that's how I maintain myself. In other words, she's saying her occupational duty is depending upon the Lord. Right? Everyone has an occupational duty. So her occupational duty is depending upon the Lord. So now, it's not that depending upon the Lord means that we are lazy, we do nothing. No, we have our duties, we do them. The result comes, doesn't come, that's up to Krishna. We are dependent upon Krishna. Your hand. Blessed. Therefore, these two positions of friendship and full surrender are rarely seen because they're difficult. Why is it difficult? Because basically we have to give up the ego. That's the difficulty. And the attachment to controlling and enjoying. Right? So the ego, because the ego is there, false ego, means we have to give up false ego. We develop real ego. We're servant of the Lord. False ego is I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. Right? I'm the controller means what I do happens. I'm the enjoyer means the results of what I do is mine. Right? So we see it's a very subtle point that can catch devotees. So he says that these last two are difficult. The first one, because it mentions sense gratification, maybe their interest in sense gratification is there, but the fruits are given to Krishna. Right? One has so much facility, but one understands it's come from Krishna. And so one gives that results to Krishna. But one is still thinking one is doing and one is enjoying. One may. Or one may come to a higher platform where it's not. So that's pointed out. To just follow the Vedic system is kind of indirectly a devotee. But to seriously follow because it's Krishna's direction, then that is a serious devotee. But they still may have, which is very common. If these other two are very rare, this means it's very common that devotees will have these still considerations in their mind to control and enjoy the material nature. So then to become fixed in devotional service, where one is not interested in these things, one is steady in devotional service, and one is still performing one's duties. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whatever I have, this is all yours. You do with it as you like. I'll do my duty as a householder, as your devotee, and results are up to you. You want to kill me, you want to maintain me, it's up to you. You know? And Yamunacharya doesn't worry what's the position, because he's not the body anyway. The body belongs to Krishna. He belongs to Krishna. So you want me to be a demigod? You want me to be a human being? Or whatever's the mode of life, it doesn't matter. Like that. As long as one can. He's just surrendering. Whether you surrender this or that, it doesn't matter. That's the thing in the Vedic system. Whether you're surrendering, you know, one's life is a brahmachari, one's life is a grihastha, one's life is a vanaprastha, one's life is sannyasa, it doesn't matter. Because the soul is the one surrendering. And the soul has in their care the gross and subtle body. Those are being surrendered. Those have that varnashram identification. They're being surrendered to the Lord. Right? The soul is not within varnashram. But because the soul identifies, therefore then they take up those desires and identity and all that very seriously, because they think they will control and enjoy that way. So this is point. And so it mentions here advanced devotees. So that means the platform of the preacher, the platform one steady in devotional service, this is an advanced position. See, basically, you have the neophyte position and the advanced position. And the advanced position has two platforms, Madhyama and Uttama. So if this is understood, actually the whole devotional process becomes much more easy to adjust with. Now, from what I've seen, the culture that devotees practice, there's neophyte and there's advanced. And neophyte has two divisions. It's called Kanista and Madhyam. And then Uttam is advanced. But Rupa Goswami has a different opinion. His opinion is that Kanista is neophyte and Madhyam and Uttam is advanced. Otherwise, why is the preacher dear? It doesn't say an Uttam Bhakta who's come down to the Madhyama platform is dear. It just says a preacher. Right? Now, on this, someone who is preaching and is on the platform of surrendering everything to the Lord, they, of course, are the most dear. Amongst preachers, they are very special, even more rare. But if we have this understanding, then one's appreciation for devotees takes on a different light. Otherwise, there's one or two advanced persons, generally Prabhupada and whoever we decide is our guru, right? Right? As soon as they're our guru, they're special. They're not our guru, they're not special. Right? Because we're special, anything connected to us is naturally special. Right? Right? We care for the things we have. So, you know, my cloth is special, my house is special, my possessions are special, my guru is special. Why? They all have something in common. Ourself. Right? So then, that one or two people who we say is Uttama, and everybody else is just basically a common devotee. And this makes for a very difficult social scenario. Right? Very rough to organize a culture based on respect and authority if this is the vision. Because Kanista and Madhyam are just ordinary. And that Uttam is somewhere miles beyond that, untouchable. But somehow or another, the jump between Kanista and Madhyam is very great. Then Madhyam and Uttam, they're both counted as advanced. So they're it's in a different platform. If that's there, then we see those who are steady in devotional service, those who are preaching devotional service and that, then we can see them in a different light. Then we understand that the movement is much broader than we consider. Because if we see the Kanista and the Madhyam as neophyte, basically we're saying there's only Kanista and there's Uttama. And in between we don't recognize. Right? They've been around a little longer, but they're just like us, but have been around a little longer. And that Uttam is something else. But the Madhyamas, they're steady in devotional service. They're fixed. They have confidence in devotional service. They have confidence in the statement that Krishna says, whoever surrenders unto him, he will protect, he'll take care. He will give them shelter. So they're working on that principle. It may be rare, but it is of great substance. So because it is not great in number, it cannot be taken as something of not importance. Right? If we simply go by numbers, that is the mass, that is the Shudra mentality. Shudra mentality is mass, that's what makes things happen. A lot of people say it's true, then that's the way it is. Right? But the Vedic system is, what is truth, that's truth. And then everything else is opinion. So you have one Srila Prabhupada in America speaking the truth. That is of more substance than the hundreds of millions of people that are there who have a different opinion, whose sense gratification, all these are the prime goal of life. You can't wait. You can put billions of materialists on one side and one devotee on the other. And because the devotee is speaking truth, that position is greater. That's greater. So if we simply go by numbers, so many people say this, so many people, so what? You know? It's what is according to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. That is what is important. Right? Now, of course, so many are devotees, so many are saying this, or so many are that. That means there is a difficulty that is being perceived by many, many people, or being experienced by many, many people. So that has to be addressed. But it still has to be addressed through the same formula of the Lord's formula. Because there is no material solution for material problems. There isn't any. Right? Unless the solutions are in line with what Krishna gives. Right? If you, there are Krishna has material solutions to material problems, but they're still temporary because it's material. So only spiritual solutions solve the material world. Right? And then some will go, well, that may be not practical or maybe not theoretical. So that's what Rupa Goswami says. It's very difficult to find those who have that faith that Krishna is going to take care. What about this? What about that? That's there. But what can we actually do? We'd have to be very confident that we are the ones moving the modes of nature. We have to be very confident that 1/10,000th the tip of the hair is pushing this body around and making it do so many things. We have to be very confident. Right? But unfortunately, that confidence comes from the modes of nature also. So even to get that confidence, that has to come from the modes of nature, and that still has to be sanctioned by Krishna. Right? So still it's coming from Krishna. Our faith in the material energy, our faith in our own abilities, even that has to come from Krishna. Faith has to come from Krishna. It doesn't come from anywhere else. Like Krishna mentions in the Gita, those who turn to the demigods, the faith in the demigod comes from Krishna. It doesn't come from somewhere else. The demigod cannot give faith. So if a demigod can't give faith, then surely the people who have the advertisements or various charismatic leaders or this, they don't have the ability either. Only Krishna has. So when Krishna sees that the living entity wants faith in something, he will give that. If we have the idea that only in the certain elements of the material energy, if we have those abilities or capabilities or knowledge, then we will be able to do nicely. You know, that will solve our difficulties. Then that faith in that has to come from Krishna. It won't come because the modes of nature are arranging what Krishna sanctions based on our desire. So it still comes back to that. So then what we see here is that understanding this, then the devotee knows, okay, maybe I can't surrender to that much. I still have the attachments to our activities and doing, but at least then I will do the activities according to Krishna's direction. Right? So then that makes the devotee on the platform of servitorship. They at least have that much faith that Krishna's system is the good system. Then as they perform that system, naturally their faith increases because it's devotional service. They become then fixed in devotional service. Then they come to this platform of friendship. Then they have firm conviction and they follow the system because Krishna is said to do like this. Krishna says in Gita, you want to give in charity? This is the way to give in charity. You want to do austerity? This is austerity. You know, you want to eat? These are the foods you eat. So all these things, Krishna said it. I accept what his opinion. I'm doing it. And then one is able to, and then those, they either are setting very good example themselves, or they are also preaching. Like that. And then this Atmanivedanam, then everything's surrendered. It's up to the Lord completely. Whatever he wants, however he wants, we are just surrendered. We just try to do whatever little bit we can. Right? And then it sounds very good. Problem is in this age, unless one speaks very loudly and yells and screams and is sometimes ostentatious, then one is taken as, oh, he can do something. Doesn't mean they can, it just means they can talk loud. And if one talks very humbly, then it is taken that, oh, this person can't do anything. That is one difficulty in this age. So when you say like this, Bhaktivinoda, my mind, my household affairs, my body, whatever is in my possession, my dear Lord, I offer to you for your service, that you can do with them as you like. So it will say, well,
how does that put, you know, the rice and dal on the table?
But we did notice here that he did say, my household affairs, means he is doing some activities in relationship to his house. My body, what is in my possession, means he does have something. Like that. Means by performing the household affairs, he has some possessions. Right? But he's totally depending upon the Lord for it. Krishna wants to give, Krishna wants to take away. It doesn't matter. It's not that, yes, I've surrendered everything, but these few things don't take away. You know? Like that. I surrendered everything, but, you know, this particular thing and that particular thing, well, that I'm, you know, a little worried about taking that away. So here it's, you take away, and even the point, you take away this body, you kill me. So that is the point. So that is practice. So the devotee understands all this, understands where they're situated, and then works to develop, because there's always a stage more. And even we come to the perfectional platform, still there's more to go. Right? There's more to do, more to learn, more ways to serve Krishna. It means even in the spiritual realm, the devotees are learning more and more ways to serve Krishna. That learning process is still going on. Because there are persons who are much more capable than what is learning from them. So the process is eternally is expanding and improving. So that it's just a matter of being realistic and understanding. But in this realism, it is in the mode of goodness, because it's based on knowledge. And it's based on faith. So therefore, one does not give up. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur in other songs, where he's saying that I'm so fallen and so unqualified, you never see the song end, so therefore, you know, I should just go out and enjoy the material nature, or therefore I should commit suicide, or therefore I shouldn't even bother trying. You never see that as the last line of the song. You just see that, therefore, I have to surrender to you. You please pick me up. You please, even though I am so fallen, I have heard you are so merciful. So therefore, you please. Because it's in the mode of goodness. Mode of ignorance, then we look at it, oh, I'm so useless, I'm so this, I'm so that. And then one finds some very drastic and tamasic way to take care of that. Or I'm so useless, so therefore, you know, out the door. You know, this person fell down. Well, if he can't make it, I can't make it. So the next day, you're right out there in the material energy. Right? So that's because we're not seeing it in the right attitude. The right attitude is we may be fallen. But that doesn't mean that the process isn't so powerful. In other words, we're saying, I'm so fallen. My case is so unique and special that I'm so fallen that the chanting of the holy name and the devotional process can't work on me. I'm so special. Right? Just like my guru's special because he's my guru. Right? You know, he wasn't my guru, he'd just be another devotee in the movement. Right? So we always have to watch. The false ego is so clever. Devotional process saved Jagai and Madhai. And there's no one on the planet now that can claim to be anywhere near Jagai and Madhai. These are small-time demons. Small-time. Jagai and Madhai, they were top-class rascals. No one could say that. Even Yamaraj didn't know what to do with them. Right? Yamaraj knows exactly what to do with all the people around nowadays. But Jagai Madhai, he did not know what to do. And so they were saved by the holy name. Right? Harinam er Udarino. They were saved. They were picked up. So that feeling unqualified, this Dainya Bodhika,
And then dropping into the mode of ignorance, because then I'm not the great personality I thought I was. I thought I was a great devotee, very dynamic and this, and then I look at it seriously and I find out I'm not, so then what's the use? Right? So that, it can't work like that. It has to be that we understand that it's the Lord's process and I'm the fool for being in the material world, so therefore I have to try to get serious. Then we progress. It may be a little painful, but we progress. Okay. Devotional service should never be given up. That's not... The only solution to any problem is devotional service. And if we feel devotional service doesn't cover this topic or that topic, we just need to educate ourselves more. The Vedic literatures deal with everything. Right? Like that. They deal with everything. It's just a matter of understanding what has been given. Right? One has to understand what has been given by Prabhupada and what has been given when he gives us the Vedic culture. It means it includes everything. It's the perfect social system. We may say we're not in a perfect world, but it's just an observation. But like here in Mayapur, where is the Western world coming and imposing anything upon this community that we have to act according to Western values? Name one place. There's no one coming here and standing at the gate and telling you, you know, laughing at us how we're dressing or saying we're weird. No one's coming and saying how we have to run our education. No one's even telling us how we have to build our buildings. Right? You know, I don't think anybody's paying any tax. Right? I don't think there's anything going on. Where is the Western imposition here in Mayapur? It doesn't exist. Right? We create it ourselves. In other words, we bring it with us. Just like in India. Swaraj meant it was started in the 1800s because the British were trying to destroy the Vedic culture. So the whole idea was get rid of the British, maintain our glorious culture. 87, they managed it freeing the place of the British, but somehow they kicked out the British, but kept the British culture. So we free ourselves from the difficulties in the West, but then we have to leave behind that culture also, and then take up the culture. Otherwise it doesn't. Even living in the West, remember, we'd do whatever we wanted, living right in the middle of the city. We'd dress how we want, eat how we want, behave how we want, speak how we want, live how we want. No one said anything, right? Somebody stands at the door and says, "You better use that toilet paper," right? Is there? I've been to many devotees' houses. I've never seen anybody standing there. I've never seen a sign written up, you know. But even Congress passed a new law that everybody must use toilet paper. No. You can do whatever you want. That's the American thing. That in the freedom of your house, your fiefdom of your house, you can live how you want as long as you don't impose on somebody else's life. As long as you're not doing that, you can do whatever you want. That's the American ideal. So where the imposition is, I'm not sure. We bring it with us. We create it ourselves. It's like the, what do you call it? Self-fulfilling prophecy. That's the term. Everybody says it will happen, so everybody acts in such a way that it does happen. Right? So the devotees themselves become the vehicle for maintaining the Western culture and not giving it up and taking up the, you know, our own heritage.
So therefore it said it's too difficult. These two processes are difficult because they take surrender. They take faith. They don't take more than that. Right? It's not the technique. It's that surrender. It's that desire. The desire, pure in the Lord devotional service, to surrender to the Lord, to take up the process. That is what's difficult. Otherwise, here he's performing his household duties, his devotional activities. Right? The preacher is also performing their activities. Like that. Any questions on this?
Yes. What happens if you have a desire to act right according to the rules, and still sometimes you say or do the wrong thing, not knowing?
Means the it's due to habit, because we have to remember is this life is the culmination of other lives. You know, it's not generally just, you know, it just happened, but over many lives we've been cultivating the direction that we're moving in. Therefore we took birth in the culture, the family and culture that we did, so that we had that natural kind of lifestyle and training, culture, values, ways of thinking, methods of doing things, like that. So those desires are there, coming, building up. So because it's been there for so long, generally many lifetimes, one has to be very conscious to try to change it and keep very good association to change it. That's why Prabhupada is recommending so much the strong sadhana and studying of the books and associating with devotees. Right? These things are very important. Because then in that way we'll change. And then by worshipping the Lord, offering everything to the Lord, then we develop our relationship with the Lord. And then so much of these things are destroyed. The reactions of sinful life are millions of births is destroyed by each time we perform an activity for the deities. Every artik, you know, every time anything is done, so much is destroyed. Because we're not dealing with a couple of lifetimes. We've been in the material world for a long time. You know, if it was easy to say, okay, you know, after 100 births in the material world, then one will get sick of it, take up devotional service. But it's not saying that. The term is nityabadha. Because when the living entities come into the material world, how long they've been in the material nature, very hard to calculate. So since no one can calculate, it means Krishna knows, but since other than that, we're the ones worried, Krishna's not worried about it. Right? Shiva and Parvati, you know, it's their service. They're not worried. They can tell. But the living entities, they can't understand. So one's dealing with a very large amount of stuff. But devotional service is so powerful, it can wash all that away. And Prabhupada's given his recommendation that we try in this lifetime to go back to Godhead. So one has to have that determination. Prabhupada said we should try for it. We should try. But it's not us that's making it happen. It is our desire and our desire to endeavor and our confidence and our faith. Excuse me. That is what makes things successful. Right? That is there. So there's never a loss. So we try. And it's very balanced, so you don't, it's not fanatic. It's very balanced, very natural. Like Prabhupada is not, no one would say he's fanatic. He's very natural, balanced, you know, just very complete person. Right? Because he's situated in the process nicely, full faith in the process, fully dependent upon Krishna.
So he's the most wonderful person. And then to that degree that we also have those convictions, to that degree we can start to follow in his footsteps. Make sense? Right? So one becomes sober, but one does not become discouraged like that, because the process is so powerful. We just simply have to take it, and as Krishna and the modes of nature, they're doing the things anyway, so we simply have to desire. That's why you get the verses like this.
Mukham karoti vachalam pangolam gayate girin yat kripa tamaham bande shri guru vidatayadam.
Mukham karoti vachalam means a person who can't even speak, dumb. You know, they can't speak. They don't have the facility. They can recite wonderful poetry. A lame person who can't walk can cross over mountains. All this is by the mercy of the Lord. So whatever is there, then it can happen wonderfully. Right? The whole point is that we simply try to endeavor to the best of our ability in Krishna's service. And then the results are up to Krishna. More attachment is there, then we get the results, we offer the results to Krishna. More advanced than that is we do the work and the results are Krishna's before the results have come. Right? Means the beginning stage is I perform the activity, I get the result, then I give it to Krishna. More advanced is I perform the activity, the result's already Krishna's before even the activity's been performed and result has been received.
That makes us humble.
You know, because humility is very important. When that humility is there, see, one thing that happens in humility is that one becomes meditative. One also holds the, how you say, one doesn't one becomes very thoughtful. One becomes very observant of others. Means if it's done in the proper way, the real humility, it creates appreciation of others, others' qualities, others. This is what it should do. Like that. So then what makes one more qualified for devotional service? Because the humble person, then someone who's very humble or very, you know, how you say, shy, these kind of qualities, naturally others then want to help. Right? You have a very boisterous, wild, you know, impudent child, no one really wants to deal with them. Even their own parents, you know, they deal out of duty, but it's not so spontaneous. If the child is very, very surrendered and very well behaved and very like this, then we see naturally there's a desire to help. So when we take that humble mood, then Krishna naturally helps. Means something's always there. The reaction may be just that we disturb the others and then they make the comment. But whatever it is, something is there. Because we think we are doing the activity, the doer of the activity, therefore the results of the activity we must take claim for also. Whether they're, you know. Generally we like to claim the good ones, and the bad ones we like to blame, you know, God for. Or blame others. Like that. But both do we have to take. But also, ultimately, if we're honest, we understand they're both not ours. But because we have desired and we have performed activities in the past or in the present, therefore the bad reactions we don't complain about. We know that this is coming because I deserve it. What happens for the article happened here? Or? Huh? So they close the curtains for the offering?
So that's at RT 6:30. What time is it then? 6:05. Any evidence of that? Like, if there's no evidence, then you won't believe it, or what? Huh? Just to know. The question is any evidence of a dumb man speaking and a lame man crossing over mountains? You know? Like that. We see all kinds of... Depends how you want to take it. Okay, yeah. We're here, yes. The Malechas and Yavanas are sitting here in Mayapur Dham. That's that. Good. Another point. You take three or four hippies, send them from America to England, right? And the next thing is they are opening a center there, staying with the, you know, leading members of the Beatles in their own private houses. They're giving facility for them. They're appreciating Krishna consciousness. Right? And some of them are still appreciating Krishna consciousness today from that time. So that is someone who is not so qualified in this, who does wonderful things. Right? You know? Remember, there's one man in South, very big, big man. He was from Sri Lanka. He was a very big intellectual. His name started with a K. Very influential and very respected. And one of our preachers, who had a traveling party in India, he went down there and one time in a public debate, debated with him and defeated him. Okay. Another time, I remember Chutananda, he went and he was speaking with the junior Shankaracharya of Kanchipur. Not Kanchipur? Not Kanchipur. There's no Kanchipur. Yeah, Kamakotipita. That's in Kanchipur. So then, he, how you say, they all they do is study Sanskrit and Vedanta all day. That's what they do. Because they're their leading preachers. So Chutananda went and sat down one day with them and they were talking and he defeated the junior Shankaracharya. Right? And so then one time some other devotees had gone and were speaking and they were mentioning, I think the older one, the senior one, was saying, basically saying, most of us aren't so trained in the philosophy, but he said this is Chutananda, he knew, he was good, they appreciated it. He defeated him so cleanly. So these are examples. You just have to know how to apply it. If you're going to look around for a devotee who had no tongue and no voice box, and then you're going to find him, you know, speaking Shakespeare or something, then you're going to be looking for a long time. It means that can happen. Right? I mean, why dumb? Dead, right? Srinivasacharya's son was dead. And then he started speaking philosophy. Or Chittaketu's son was dead. And then he started speaking philosophy. So they were beyond dumb. They were dead. Yes? Yeah. Yeah, it is. We take it very cheaply. Is that Prabhupada, he's made devotees so available. So common, so many temples, so we take them very cheaply. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, right? The, you know, devotee who's come to perform a particular aspect of Lord Chaitanya's mission, the pure, unalloyed devotee, Nitya Siddha, he had to look himself for a Chaitanya Charitamrita for 6 years before he found one handwritten manuscript. Right? Here we have them laying all over the place, that, you know, even they're falling apart, we don't care about them.
So Prabhupada has done such a, made all this so available. You know, there's millions of books out there. Right? Millions. And they're having their effect. There's one very far out, I think I told it before, is that devotees in Russia, they were on the train, they were going from one side of the country to the other. While they were on the train, this man came up to him, just regular looking man, and he had these photocopied, I think it was Bhagavad Gita's or some one of the books that have been translated into Russian. And he was coming around and distributing these books. And he came up to the devotees and they, you know, and said, you should, you know, take one of these books, it's about spiritual, all these different things he's telling. So then after, then they sat him down and asked who he was and this and that. He didn't know that there were any devotees or temples or anything in Russia. He somehow or another came across, I think, a photocopy of one of Prabhupada's books, copied it himself, read it. In there it said that one should distribute this literature, this transcendental literature. That this is the proper thing, it's part of the spiritual process. So he photocopied his book and was going around and distributing it. Right? So now is that a miracle or not? So we take it so cheap. There's miracles going on every day, but we are just so used to it that we don't notice. You know? Just like I mentioned before. Is the opulence in Mayapur is like, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 times what it used to be. And what the devotees are living in and stuff like that. I mean, I remember before, 84 flood, then in the A block, there were 120 of us staying. Oh no, it would have been more than 120. We had 120 kids, plus the teachers. 130, 140 of us. And we were quite comfortable. You know, 10, 12, 15 in a room. Mayapur Festival, when we came, the Lotus Building wasn't finished. And on the third floor where many of the devotees stayed, the floors weren't done. They were just the cement slabs, piles of stone chips, stacks of these tiles that are on the floor there, all over the place. The bathrooms worked. I think the rooms had no windows or doors on them. Like that. And that's where we stayed. I stayed next to a stack of pile of stone chips and a stack of what do you call it? The stone slabs in a very enviable position that was about 4 feet from the toilet. Right? Because in those days, diarrhea was very normal. So, you know, had a very, you know, microseconds were very important. And that's how we lived. And we were very happy. I mean, very happy. Then they built the long building, and then devotees were staying there. First world accommodation meant 8 people in one room. No mosquito nets. No screens on the windows. Nothing. That was first world accommodation. Right? So it's changed so much. But devotees now, it's like, you know, it's still not good enough. It's still lacking. It's still this. It's still that. There was no generator in those days, right? Everything was kerosene lanterns. So, I mean, electricity was rare. They just kerosene lanterns, you chanted, you got up in the morning. You learned to move around by, you learned to distinguish between shades of black, you know? Anything that was jet black, you worried about that. It was whole, it was water. You know, it was a snake, it was something. But if it wasn't jet black, you know, you can see it in relation to the other things, you could move around quite nicely. You know, you could figure out where the bathroom was, this, that. You know. You did that, you just learned to live like that.
no water, you went down and took a bath in the Ganges. So his life was simple. So we get conditioned to this, and then we don't realize actually what's there. So we become conditioned to having, you know, 350, 400 temples all around the world, thousands of devotees, this and that, and so much nice association facility. We just take it for granted. So then we don't see the specialness. Then we're looking for why those miracles aren't happening like before. No, but they're always going on. This one has to be able to appreciate it. Right? That's the point. Something else? Or? Depends how not connected it is.
Bhagavad was giving lecture, he said that there are six Puranas in the world of goodness, and he said that he wanted to describe the hellish planets even more than in our temple. And he was telling that in this, that however, hell is something that there is one side which is hell for saints. So he described a little bit how if you do the Vaishnava Parad, what is creation. And then we have to see that by Pandavas, now you mentioned how they were surrendered, depending on the Lord, and that they also had to go to India. So I was wondering how it's with the devotees, I mean, how we are. Because Lord has to say, just follow and you know what they have done.
Yeah, but follow means follow. Right? It means if someone says, follow this path, then you have to see that you're staying on the path. Right? You say, okay, you go down this path and follow it very carefully, then you have to follow that path very carefully. If we walk off into the bushes, we can't complain, how come we're getting scratched up and we're falling into holes and, you know, bugs are biting us and all that. Because in the path it says, don't commit Vaishnava Aparad. Right? That's part of the path. So we have to be conscious of that. Means some sadhana is there, some regulation is there, and these things, so we have to take that and try to work on that. Means we know what's there. In the beginning, we make mistakes, but we have to try to correct those mistakes. Try to understand that we're making mistakes. Then Krishna will help us. You know, like Mataji was mentioning, we have so many bad habits. We surrender to Krishna. We depend upon Krishna and ask Him if He can please remove this so that we can do service for Him nicer. Right? It means we're approaching Him so that we can actually become His devotee. You know? Like that. So Krishna only can remove all these things. We simply desire that they be removed, and in that desire, then directions that are given to us, we try to follow them. Right? We desire to follow them. We make that determination to follow them. And then Krishna will give us ability. The controller means, the question is this, what we were saying about before about the mood of controlling and enjoying. controller thinks that by my activities I have gained the results. In the mood of enjoyment, then those results are mine to enjoy. Because I have done the work, I have endeavored, I have gotten it. Therefore, it's naturally my right to enjoy it. It just goes all the way to the end. Oops. Then next point, offering a favored article. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 41, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, "My dear friend, if someone offers me the best thing in his possession, or anything which is very pleasing to him, he will be eternally benefited." So those things that we very much appreciate, we offer. Those things that we value, we offer. Those are the kind of things that we give. So, we will end here. Sorry. Srila Rupa Goswami Pada Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Samaveta Bhaktivedanta Ki. Jainatai Govardhana.